Would you pray with me? Loving and holy God, may the words that we have just heard take root in our hearts and minds and bring about fruit that serves your will, fruit that loves your people, fruit that celebrates your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, since it is Father's Day, it seems that I should start today's sermon with a story about my dad. When he and Mom had built their house in 1966, and after the first couple of years when they had taken care of getting everything landscaped and all of that, and our neighbors had moved, close friends had moved in next door to us, as well as the neighbors who had sold Mom and Dad the land on the other side, Dad finally had the time and the place to grow a big vegetable garden along with our two neighbors. And oh, he loved working in that garden. Of course, I was the one that did all the hard work. I was the one that had to run the rototiller, especially that first year that we did it. The guy who owned the land just kind of scraped the top, and I had to break that, and it was a big garden. I had to break it up. And I continued to do that every year while I was at home, and I would also help to plant. And I remember the first year that we were planting, and our close friends next door were also planting theirs at the same time. It was late, but it was early evening. They were joshing with me, and I kind of said, "Now, Tom, you got to put the corn seeds so that we're, you know, the stem part of it's kind of facing down." Of course, trying to get me to plant it upside down. Not that it would make any difference anyway, which way it was planted. But my dad was also of the mind that you had to plant enough corn and beans and everything else so that the raccoons had some too, and you were left with some. And I recall that we had good times working in that garden. And when I would come home in the summer from college, and later, a good meal, a summer meal, was hamburgers with corn on the cob from the garden and tomatoes from the garden. And Dad would just smack his lips and said, "It doesn't get any better than this." And when Barbara and I got our first church and lived in our first manse, which in essence, it was at the end of a dead-end street at the edge of town, so we, in essence, we were living in the country, and we had a big backyard. We said, "All right, we're going to plant a huge garden. 24 tomato plants, beef eaters and plum tomatoes and cherry tomatoes. I think we had 16 zucchini plants. It was huge. And we had stuff coming out of our ears. We had so much. And I realized, and we were going to can and freeze, because that's what people in Western New York did. But I realized that I didn't have the passion for gardening that my dad had. And my wife and I, too, didn't have the passion for canning and freezing either. So each year, our garden got smaller until finally it was just a little square of what it had been, and we just turned it all over into flowers because we decided one of our missions in life was to become a repository for others to get rid of all of their excess garden produce. And it worked well. Gardens are wonderful in that, and amateur gardeners and professional farmers know this. Planting seeds is an act of faith. You basically bury a hard little nugget. Some that you almost have to have a magnifying glass to see. And then it grows up to something much larger, much, much larger than that original seed. And in the case of grains and vegetables, produce a lot more than it looks like that little seed could ever contain, and it's true. Out of a single seed can come a plethora of tomatoes and lots of zucchinis.
or whatever.
And you know, this is the message behind our passage from 1 Corinthians. Excuse me, 1 Samuel. I apologize. 1 Samuel. Saul's blown it. And Samuel and God have both said, I've had it. Saul's done. Of course, he got to be king until he died, but he didn't have God's blessing from this point on. So God tells Samuel to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king. And God would show Samuel which one to anoint. So Samuel looks on as these sons are brought before him, and all he sees are strong, capable men to be king. And God says, uh-oh. See, I see something different than you see. And so then little David is called in from the fields. And David is little. He's probably 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there. He's young. And God says, this is the one. David was the little seed out of which the great empire would grow. David was a young lad, but God saw something. And we're not even told what God saw. He saw something in the heart. But that's it. And God chose him. And the anointing of David is a story that reminds us that God can do great things from very small beginnings. Granted, David did not become king right away. Eventually, as he's growing, he spends time working for Saul himself. The young lad had to go through the incubation of childhood and learn. But he did then eventually become the one whom all future kings of Israel and even the Jewish concept of the Messiah would be compared with or to. Even to this day. And it's also no surprise then that this passage in our lectionary is coupled with the one from the Gospel of Mark about the seeds, the parable of the seeds. The smallest seed becoming the greatest shrub that birds can nest in and be shaded from the hot sun. These stories are important because they are reminders to us that out of small things, big things can happen. They are reminders to us as we begin the sign-ups today of our New Beginnings program that God can call our church to have a major voice, a major presence in the community around us, and that each of you have a part or a piece of the vision within you. Each of you has a part to play in what we will do and then helping to successfully carry it out. And I know that God can call our church to have a major voice and presence in the community because it's happened before with us. As many of you know, and we shared it time and time again, that our church was one of the major forces along with state and local entities that built Lounsbury Affordable Housing Community on Valley Road. Just because we're small does not mean that we have no voice or no power or that we must remain small in voice and power. We do. Our church is the seed that can grow into a large bush of caring and compassion for some need in this community. Recently, I came across an account of a community, the community of Spencer in South Dakota, which was devastated by a tornado a few years ago. And among the many losses, including six victims, was St. Matthew's Lutheran Church. The day after tornado, a group from the church were walking with their pastor through the remaining rubble of that community. And it was an unbelievable sight. There was the grain elevator twisted and falling, the water tower toppled, vehicles and other heavy items strewn around like toys, whole buildings gone from their foundations. When they neared the site of the church, someone called out, "There's the statue! There's Jesus!" And sure enough, it was the traditional white statue of Jesus that stands at the altar of many small Lutheran churches with arms outstretched and loving in a loving demeanor. There he was, a beacon to all that was left of the 100-year-old Lutheran church. Now the white paint on the statue was pretty much gone, and there were some cracks in the arms. But one observer that day said, "I didn't notice the damage. It was just so remarkable, so moving, so fitting to look up from the chaos around us and see Jesus' arms outstretched and welcoming and loving his people." What the group members were to learn later was that two young girls had been helping their family clean up in the nearby home and had taken time to come over to where the church had been to set aside a few items of the church property that they'd found scattered in the area. When they saw the statue lying in the rubble, they figured everyone in Spencer needed to know that Jesus was still there. So they stood him up for all to see. Two young girls gave hope to a devastated community and church by putting the statue back up. There are people in this community, in the surrounding community, that need to know that a loving and compassionate Jesus is still there for them. And God is calling us to meet that need. And I believe that with all my heart. There is a new beginning. A new beginning for us out there, just like there was in David. Now, like David, we may need to learn some things, new things, in order to meet the calling. But we can do it. God's given us gifts, resources, and a passion to meet that need. We can make it happen. At this point, though, we just don't know what God is calling us to make happen. What is that need? That's what we will begin to figure out in September with our small groups, which we will begin signing people up for today. Now, I will tell you that we will have several small groups that meet 6 times. While we do not yet know when those different groups will meet, but we will have them at different times on different days. And once those get scheduled, then we will get those who have signed up into one of those slots that works for them. So starting today, we want you to sign up to be a part of the program. And one of our leaders will be asking you, talking to you, either after church or on the phone this week, to be a part of it. And each of your voices is imperative. Perhaps another way to look at it is to think, as we did a few minutes ago, of our church being the seed. All of us together are the seed that will grow into a new beginning. Each seed has a DNA that determines what kind of plant it will become. Each of you, along with God, is a part of that DNA sequence that will determine what this church becomes, what this church will begin. Your voice is important. Without your voice, that sequence is imperfect. Now, at this point, I would like Carolyn and Israel, will you help Carolyn back there? And they're going to be passing out the little baskets of seeds. And I want you to take a bag. Not one per family, but one per everybody. Now, as you heard me tell Elijah, some of these seeds are really tiny. So make sure you get them all out of the bag. As I said to him, take the big ones out with your fingers and put them in a pot. All of these seeds can be grown in full sun and in pots. But and then kind of shake the bag over nice potting soil and knock it to get the other seeds and let it fall in and just start watering it gently. Now these are all flowers. There's no vegetable seeds because I was afraid that you wouldn't have time, or you might get a big zucchini plant, you'd have it in a little pot. And it's, you know, not a pretty picture. So these are all flower seeds. And as you look at these seeds, wondering what they will grow into, I want you to reflect on the fact that each of those seeds has a DNA that will determine what it will be. And you just don't know what it is yet. Just as you have a DNA for what you do, or for what you do not know, will be a new beginning. Another way to think of it, I came across this wonderful story by Randy Frazee, who's written a book called The Connecting Church. One day in Sunday school, Randy has a son who was born without a left hand. And one day in Sunday school, the teacher was talking with the children about the church. And to illustrate her point, she said, show them that here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and there's all the people. And she said, okay, kid, now I want you to help. I want you to do it too. And she forgot for the moment that Randy's son couldn't do it. And just as she realized that he couldn't do it, the little boy sitting next to Randy's son, who had been his friend from childhood, from infanthood, so to speak, said, come on, let's do this together. So Randy used his right hand and the other boy used his left hand. And the two, and they formed the church. For them, the church couldn't happen without both of them. It took both of them to form it, and it takes both all of us and God working through us to form what the church will become. Even you who are visiting, we want you to be a part of it if you want. Sure, you don't know the past history of our church, but you know the present, you know, and you've guess about the future is just as good as ours. We invite you to join us. It's not members only. And those of our youth group, you are invited to participate as well. We need you. We are a seed. And you are a part of the DNA of that seed. So I invite you to sign up and to join us in the new journey, the new beginning, and see what God has in store for us. Amen.